Welcome to Process This, a podcast for the sterile processing community. The Healthcare Sterile Processing Association, HSPA, invites you to log on, listen, and learn twice a month. Now it's time to process this with your host, clinical educator, John Wood.
Welcome to the Process This podcast. This is episode 106. Well, today on the show, we have two guests for you. Our first guest is Kimberly Ames. Now, Kimberly is the Global Programmatic Lead Recruiter and U.S. Recruitment Manager at Mercy Ships, and we'll talk about how we can be involved with a mission with Mercy Ships. And then we have the opportunity to talk to Brenda Esparza. Now, Brenda was the HSPA Foundation Scholarship Volunteer to embark on the Mercy Ships mission to Sierra Leone. And she today is going to give us a glimpse of what it's like to participate on board a Mercy Ships mission. So, great show for you. So, let's get into it and talk with Kimberly. Kimberly, thank you for joining me today on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to talk about sterile processing.
So, Mercy Ships, what is Mercy Ships, and what is the mission of Mercy Ships?
Mercy Ships began our mission in 1978 to provide hope and healing to those in need. Each year, we send hospital ships filled with volunteer professionals who selflessly provide life-changing surgeries to children and adults who otherwise would go without. Together, we are saving lives. Mercy Ships operates a fleet of the world's largest charity hospital ships to bring hope and healing to those who need it most. An estimated 16.9 million people die globally every year because they can't access safe, affordable, and timely surgical care. To meet this significant need, our volunteer crew helped to provide free, life-saving, and life-changing surgery and medical training in low- and middle-income countries.
So that kind of leads me into my next question. Where does Mercy Ships usually operate?
Predominantly in West Africa. However, because we also service Madagascar, I think Sub-Saharan Africa is a better geographical answer.
Great. So I'm sure that a ship takes lots of volunteers. How many volunteers does it usually take to go on a typical mission?
Great question. We do have two hospital ships. So together, an average of 3,700 volunteers are needed to power both vessels.
Wow, that's a lot of folks.
Yes, as a recruiter, it is job security. It's my one job to recruit volunteers.
That's awesome. So what are the typical procedures that are performed aboard a ship like this?
Mercy Ships has seven surgical specialties, the general sector being adult and pediatric. We have ophthalmic, oral maxillofacial and ENT, head and neck, pediatric orthopedics, reconstructive plastic, and women's health.
Great. So y'all are able to do a lot of stuff. That's really cool. So if one of our listeners is listening in and they are interested in volunteering for a mission, want to go on a trip with you guys, can you kind of walk us through that process?
Yes, I can. The first step is applying with us. You find a position that interests you on our opportunity site and you start your application. The more details and documentations you can provide up front, the faster the rest of the steps will take. This includes your CV or resume and copies of any relevant licensure or certificates. The application link varies by role, but if you ever need to step away, don't worry. You can always come back to finish your application later. Once your application is submitted to Mercy Ships, you'll be directed to your online portal for next steps. Your application then goes under review. The team at Mercy Ships will receive your application and documentation submitted, and we will let you know if we need any further details from you. During these steps in this process, you may receive a request for a video pre-screen via our online tool, SparkHire. Some positions and circumstances also require an interview with someone from our human resource team. At this point in the process, we collaborate to ensure you're qualified for the role for which you've applied and whether Mercy Ships is a good match for you. The next step is our waiting period. If the position for Mercy Ships you've applied for is not immediately available, you can join our talent community of volunteers who are awaiting their opportunity to join us. We keep you informed of any updates with the position, and we'll give you some insider information so you can stay on top of Mercy Ships news. The next step is your acceptance letter. Once the position and your availability align, the application team will work with you to tie up any loose ends, and we'll send your acceptance letter and information. This will outline all the details you need to know regarding your commitment on board. Your confirmed volunteer dates, any cost, required training, and an outline of your next steps. In between receiving your offer letter and joining one of our ships, you may be contacted by others from Mercy Ships with resources for fundraising, onboarding, and preparing for your time with us. The last step is getting on board. This is, of course, the most exciting step in our process. When you travel to join one of our ships, nothing beats the feeling you get from walking up the gangway for the first time. And we're excited to take this journey with you, bringing hope and healing to the world's forgotten poor.
You talked a little bit about this, but how can our listeners find out more about Mercy Ships?
If you or someone you know is interested in finding your place on board with Mercy Ships, please visit us at mercyships.org.
Great. Kimberly, thank you for your time and thank you for sharing with us today on the podcast.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So that was some great information from Kimberly. Again, if you are interested in Mercy Ships, check out their website, mercyships.org, or you can visit the Mercy Ships booth at the HSPA conference in Las Vegas. Now we have the pleasure of speaking with Brenda. Well, Brenda, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So how did you get involved with Mercy Ships?
So I got involved with Mercy Ships through my sterile processing organization, HSPA. They had sent out an email, I want to say this is 2 years ago already, when the first mention of it came. I didn't receive the email. My coworker actually was on the computer and she was like, "Hey, did you get this?" And I was like, "No, what is it?" And it was the information about the scholarship for CRCST to be able to do a mission with Mercy Ships. And at the time, I had no idea who Mercy Ships was. I was just like, "What? Like a scholarship to go somewhere? Like, let me look into it." So I had her forward me the email and then I opened it up, read all about it, and I applied. And then I got a response. So that's how that happened.
That's awesome. So you didn't even get the email. You got it from a friend. And then here you go off on a Mercy Ship mission. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So where did you go and how did you get there?
So for the 6-week mission, it was to Sierra Leone in Africa. I got there by plane. It was about an 11 to 12 hour plane ride with one connection. So it was quite a journey. Somewhere that I had never been outside of the U.S. besides Mexico.
That's nice.
So it was.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. That's pretty cool. You got to go to Sierra Leone.
Yeah, something totally different than I'd ever thought I'd experience for sure.
Yeah. So when you think Mercy Ships, I automatically kind of just think, oh, you had to voyage over there on this ship. But no, you actually take it. The ship's already there and you take the plane ride. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So I flew from L.A. to France and then from France to Lungi, I believe is where the airport was.
Okay.
And then from the airport, we took a bus ride to a ferry station. It was more like a speedboat.
Wow.
And it was like covered speedboat, and we took, it was about a 35-minute ride to Freetown, which is where the ship was ported the whole time.
Okay.
So from there, it was about a 20-minute bus ride to the ship that's ported there. So I didn't get to sail anywhere, but it was so cool.
It sounds like an adventure just to get there anyway. That's
pretty cool. Yeah, it was for sure. It was the whole day's thing, but it was pretty cool seeing driving through the little towns and everything.
So how long did you actually serve on the Mercy ship when you got there?
I was actually there 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what types of things did you do while you were on the ship?
Monday through Friday, I was working. So I'd do my 8-hour shift Monday through Friday, and they were rotating shifts. I believe there was 4 different shifts, morning to night. So I did that. And then after work, usually I would go to the gym, eat, because there was free food. So you just eat or save your food and just eat in your room or go out. And there was a walking deck where you could walk around the ship and do laps. Or there's different activities always going on the ship as well. So anything you're mostly that you think you're interested in, somebody's doing it. There was all kinds of different things to do on the ship.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to my next question. It's like, what did you do in your downtime? So it sounds like there were lots of activities.
Yeah, there was lots of activities like cooking. Like certain people would post, because once you get there and you're registered and everything, you download an app, the Teams app. Okay. And then there was like a community group for just the people on the ship. And they would post on there like, hey, tonight we're going to make a cake, or if you want to join us, or we're making cupcakes for the, because there was a school on the ship, K-12.
Oh, okay.
So some ladies would be baking, you know, doing just different things. I ended up joining a dance group towards the end, which was really fun.
Really? What kind of dances did you do?
The first one was like salsa.
Oh, nice.
Just learning like the basic steps. And then another time it was like the foxtrot.
Okay.
Which was really different, you know, and it was really fun just watching, you know, there was probably like 10, 12 of us that would go up to a certain part of the ship where they would reserve it. And then, yeah, somebody would teach like what they knew, and it was fun.
Oh, nice. So what were the sleeping arrangements like? In all fairness, I was in the military, and I was in the Navy, and I was never really on a ship, but I spent a few days on a ship, and sleeping arrangements weren't quite so nice. What was your experience like?
I totally cheated and looked up on YouTube the ship, but I didn't know at that time. I didn't know there was 2 ships, the Africa Mercy and then this newer one.
Oh, okay.
So like when I was watching the videos, they look like pretty tight quarters, you know, like there was beds on top of each other. So I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know, you know, like it looks tight, you know, but it's okay. So when I got to the ship, and it was the newer ship, and they took me to my room, it was literally like walking down a hotel hallway.
Oh, cool.
And then you get to your room, and then it's like a little hotel key, and the rooms, the ones that I had, you had to share, but there was only 2 people, and there was like your own privacy wall and everything, and it was actually pretty comfortable.
So you talked a little bit about eating, so can you kind of talk a little bit more about what the eating situation was like, and how was the food?
On the ship, it was interesting. All the food was free.
Okay.
So that's always a plus, you know, free food, like, hell yeah, like, nice, you know, you don't have to pay for it, so.
Sure.
Every day the menu was, I guess they bring everything that is on the ship, they bring with them, like, it's self-sufficient. They don't have to go, like, shopping out in the community or anything, so everything gets shipped to the, so it's, like, pretty basic gallery, your protein, your carb.
Okay.
They had a salad bar, but they did have local food on Wednesdays. I believe it was Wednesdays. Yeah, so the local people that worked on the ship, they would cook, and they would make their own, like, their traditional...
little dishes?
Food, nice. Yeah. So that was really cool. That was a good day to look forward to every week, for sure.
Nice. That kind of brings me to my next question. Did you get out and get to taste any of the local food besides what was on the ship?
Yes. So thankfully, the crew on the ship were very like accommodating to me, and they knew I was only there for a limited amount of time. So they gave me the weekends to be able to go out and explore.
Oh, nice.
Which was, it was amazing. And then one of my coworkers that was a Sierra Leone, she would make me food like all the time. So it was like authentic in her kitchen and outside. And so it was good. I ate like whole crab.
Wow.
I ate a lot of their spices, a lot of their fish. And then, you know, they share their food. So okay. It'll be like one big plate. So you're sitting there eating with like 5-6 other people, which was, it was cool. Like it was different.
Not like big family style. Everybody just kind of dive in.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone nice. Go for it. Yeah.
So did you get to go out and visit the local area? And if so, what kind of things did you do?
Yeah. Thankfully with that girl that worked with me, she was more than willing to show me out and show me their city, because it was beautiful. It was so beautiful, like just being right there on the sea.
Yeah,
so beautiful. So I was able to go to two different waterfalls, did a hike up to those two, which was amazing. Just the forest, and it was really cool.
Thanks.
And then I also got to go to a chimpanzee sanctuary, because out there they're like hunted for their meat and like everything else. And so there's a sanctuary up there that whenever they hear about anybody trying to keep a chimp as a pet or anything, they go out and they rescue it and bring it back.
Oh, nice.
So it was really cool, yeah, seeing all of that.
What was the working environment like aboard the ship? You know, was it like working in a normal facility, or were there any differences?
It was your regular 8-hour shift, which most of us in sterile processing work, but their facility is brand new. Like this ship was built to be a hospital. Like it's literally bigger than the hospital that I work at right now.
Oh, wow.
They had six ORs, just everything was up to date, you know, because I believe everything's donated to them.
Okay.
So everything was like state of the art. So that there was different. Getting my facility is very humble facility. And so I definitely was spoiled while I was on the ship, with the sinks going up and down. The tracking system was beautiful.
Great.
Like I had never seen anything like that in my life.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there were other people from other countries working aboard the ship. Were there any language barriers when you were with the local people or on the ship?
No, it's pretty impressive, actually. Like, all the local people there, they literally speak like 4 or 5+ languages. So it was amazing to, when I first got there and we met our crew and everything that we were going to be working with, we all introduced each other and we're all saying where we're from and the languages we speak and everything. And, you know, some of us like had 2 or 3. And then once I got to the local people, they were like, oh, yeah, I speak 5 languages.
Wow.
I speak 6 languages. And we were like, wow. So, yeah, it was pretty cool for sure.
So can you kind of walk us through a typical day or your typical day on board a ship?
So I'd wake up in the morning. If I worked in the morning, I would be down by 7 o'clock in the morning. We do all our regular warm-ups with the machines, the testing of the washers, the testing of the sterilizers. Surgery usually started around 8:30. So by 9, we were processing instrumentation if it was like a quick case. There was tea time, so whenever it was tea time, a lot of the staff would go up to a different deck and just like run down through the day and what was going on and stuff like that. Then lunchtime for everybody is at the same time. So it'd be like, you know, going to the cafeteria and waiting in line with your little tray, which was cool.
Gotcha.
And I tried to talk to different people while I was, you know, on the ship, mostly the locals. Like I just wanted to, you know, meet them and connect with them and just try to learn stuff from them for sure. Then after lunch, just go back to work. If I got to go home early, I'd always do my laps around, just because I didn't want to leave the ship during the week, I felt like traffic getting off was like really bad. So
okay.
I always waited towards the weekend to do that. Whatever activity was going on, like if somebody was building something or needed help with something, usually I'd volunteer.
Kind of just kept yourself busy.
What was going on. Yeah, for the most part. Even though the room was comfortable, I didn't have any windows. Most of the short-term people, we didn't have windows in our rooms.
Okay.
So, and usually there was like stuff to do. So, yeah, and then wait for dinner, and then eat again. And then the time difference was 7 hours between home. So
okay.
I have two daughters. I have a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old. So
gotcha.
As I was getting ready for bed, they were getting home from school. So I'd call them every single day and see what they're up to, help with homework if I could. That would be it.
Hey, let's pause our conversation for just a second. Are you looking to get a CE for this episode? Well, you're in the right place. To receive the CE for this episode, simply click on the link in the episode notes, or you can log on to the MyHSBA website and make sure you use the code Global Mercy. Again, the code for this episode is Global Mercy. Now, back to our conversation.
So what kind of procedures or instrumentation did you work with while you were there? Were there any unique instruments or names of things that you worked with?
While I was there, they were doing their plastics reconstructive surgeries,
okay,
which was pretty cool. So it was mostly people with tumors or like burn victims and stuff like that. So the instrumentation was more delicate. The minor sets, they had like some power that I had never seen before.
Kind of brings me my next question. Were there any differences in equipment and sterilizers or washers? You said power.
Yeah, the sinks were so cool. They moved up and down. The temp of the water was perfect. Like, so my back never hurt while I was there, which was nice.
Oh, that is nice.
yeah. The washers, there was 3 washers there, which was cool. And they had so many kinds of different kinds of baskets for certain instrumentation. So you didn't have to play a Tetris to put anything through, which was cool.
Nice.
The one big difference was their cycle that they use. They use a SFFP.
Like a steam pulse pre-vac?
Yeah, like something I had never heard of before until I got there.
Okay.
Which was cool to learn about, I guess. But yeah, everything else was pretty typical of what you would see in a sterile processing department.
Now, this seems like a unique sterile processing environment, definitely not the typical sterile processing department that probably most of us are used to. Was there anything you had to do to adapt? I mean, it sounds like they had a pretty new, pretty up-to-date facility.
You know, something that was different for me was how controlled the environment was and also how much staff, because we did have like, it was very well staffed, which, you know, throughout our country, at least, we've been going through a short staffing crisis, you know?
Yeah.
So to be there where it was very well staffed, very controlled, it wasn't like an OR where there's add-ons or they bump cases or stuff like that. Everything was, whatever was on the schedule, that's what was happening. If something got canceled, they moved on.
Okay.
So that was something that you would think like would be nice, but for sure, like it was a little slower than maybe some of them are used, some of us working in sterile processing are used to.
So what was your favorite thing about working with Mercy Ships?
I think the whole, what everybody is there to do was the, like what I took away for sure from working there and how everybody that is there is volunteering their time, you know?
Okay.
So the fact that everybody leaves their homes and, you know, goes there to help out these communities. Like, that was my favorite part. Just knowing that I had a purpose to be there and to make the people that got selected for the surgeries, and they do over like 3,000 surgeries, I think it was,
oh, wow,
while they were there doing their field service. So just knowing that, you know, we're a part of that, we're helping people who wouldn't have this kind of opportunity. I think that was my favorite part of working for Mercy Ships for my 7 weeks for sure.
So last question, would you go back and serve on the Mercy Ships if you were given the opportunity?
I would definitely go back for sure. I'm still working on my education. I want to be an OR nurse.
Nice.
And my kids are kind of small right now. You know, they need me, I think, right now. So maybe as I got older, and even if they got older and they wanted to experience that with me for, you know, a few weeks to go volunteer. And because they have families that live on the ship. They bring their loved ones, their kids, their parents. So I think for sure I would want to go back and have my kids experience what Mercy Ships does for sure.
Oh, that's great. Well, Brenda, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for sharing your experience on the Mercy Ship with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and letting me share my experience. It was pretty cool. If anybody is thinking, if you know anybody who's thinking of doing something like this or has never heard of any of these foundations, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I think for sure, if you're ever curious about doing it, just, you know, just try to do it.
Well, folks, that music can mean only one thing. And I'm sorry to say we are out of time for today. It was a pleasure to hear from Brenda and have her share her story with us. What a great opportunity we have to serve others by applying our skills and knowledge in sterile processing to help others. And of course, thank you, Mercy Ships, for your mission to help bring health care to those in need and for your partnership with HSPA. Again, to learn more about Mercy Ships, check out their webpage, mercyships.org, or visit them and Brenda at the HSPA conference. HSPA episode 106 is in the books. We are done for today. Thanks for sticking with us. You know, each episode we do is on demand, so when you're ready for us, we'll be there for you. As always, stay classy, and we'll see you next time.